Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. Today, Mike and I recap the British Open, take a look at the recently released NHL schedule, talk a little summer TV and movies, and then Mike will recap his recent trip to Maine and talk a little bit about beer. So, Mike Grant, welcome back. How you doing?
It's been a long time, man. I wish I could have done it up in Maine, but I was just in a different world, different dimension.
Yeah, that's what vacation's supposed to be for. Yeah. You know, that's why, you know, I know how much, you know, you listen to a lot of sports talk radio. A lot of those guys, they're off during this time until football season starts back up. So
it's awesome to have a break. Maine's one of my new favorite places. It was amazing up there.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you picked a good week to go because the D.C. area, it was just so, it was like
high 90s. Yeah, I heard even my neighborhood lost power, so that could have been real miserable.
Yes, yeah.
Real, real bad.
And this is not the time of year you want to lose power and AC.
No, but it's gorgeous. It hit a bunch of breweries that I can talk about later, and overall just an awesome trip.
Very nice. It's good to have you back. Did you catch, were you able to watch a lot of the Open throughout the... You were up there, what, Thursday? You were up there...
Yeah, so I actually got to... The Wi-Fi was a little spotty on the resort, but I ended up getting a good enough signal, and I streamed Tiger's entire round on Thursday.
Oh, sweet, okay.
Poolside, which was pretty fun. And yeah, he hung in there the whole time, and yeah, I watched all the coverage on Sunday. So I thought it was one of the more entertaining Opens in recent history.
Absolutely.
You know, you had all the major players there at the end of the day, and Tiger just can't make putts anymore.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Which used to be his forte. So it kind of sucks to see him do that. But I was surprised that outpour of, you know, Tiger's horrible. He's never going to win another major again. I mean, the guy's still got, he's still on pace with Jack.
You know,
he still won four tournaments this year. You know, I think he's right there. So, yeah, it's hard to win a major.
It is,
yes. It's really hard to win a major. You know, and especially on a course like that where it's just so unpredictable. You could even tell on the first couple holes, Tiger's putts, he was just like, I don't think I've ever seen him that hesitant on a putt before. You know, he didn't know what to expect. So, and then, you know, he had a couple shots that were fantastic, but, you know, that game's a matter in inches at that point on that type of course where the ball, you know, could roll another 30 yards or could stop and roll back at you. So you saw Mickelson do that. You know, he thought he chipped the ball perfectly and ended up, you know, back at his feet.
Sure, yep.
So, but, I've never just been a huge fan of Mickelson. I don't know why.
I thought about you watching him when he hit that putt, it was pretty much done.
Yeah.
No one's going to catch him. I was thinking about you, wondering how you reacted, because I know you like to see great golf, but at the same time, when it comes from him, I was wondering if you were kind of conflicted there.
No, what he did was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, not many golfers have pulled off what he did, especially in the conditions to shoot a 66 like that. But, you know, just his little cheer afterwards when he sank the putt, he's just such a dork, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, supposedly the fans love him, and apparently the golfers don't like him. He's a little bit arrogant, supposedly, with the other golfers. So, yeah, but he's a good guy. I mean, I like to see good guys win.
Sure, yeah.
I'd much rather have seen Lee Westwood win, because he's been in the mix. I read a stat or heard a stat that he's the only golfer that's finished in the top three in all majors but never won it.
That's wild.
You know, so he's been there all the time, and as of late in recent memory, he's always at the top of the leaderboard. It's funny. I was looking. It seems like the same names during majors. I mean, yeah, you have your random guys that'll win it, but the same names always pop up in the majors. You know, Cabrera,
yep.
Jimenez. You know, you never hear their names all year because they're playing mostly on the European tour, but they're always right there in the thick of things in majors.
They pop up, yep.
Yeah, so I thought it was an awesome day. It really made me down that Tiger didn't at least have a chance at the end.
I was
talking with my buddy, and that was another comment that I agreed with, is it's fun to see the winner come from the last couple pairings, whereas, you know, if Phil came out of nowhere,
yep.
You really didn't see any of his highlights, and it was just, you know, kind of a flat finish.
It was. I thought so too. Yeah.
Had to wait for all the final pairings to come through, and they didn't even have a chance.
Yeah.
So that's no fun to watch it that way. But Phil played a great round, and I love all the majors. I can't wait for the PGA.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be next one up.
What did you think about it?
I thought it was good. Yeah, I thought the final day was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I wish it could have just played out differently as far as when, you know, Phil, you know, because, yeah, he you know, I think, what was it, like noon, 1 o'clock when it was, and, you know, so I was kind of, like you said, flat, so I was kind of bummed about that, but watching him, you know, put together that performance was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was kind of bummed not to see, I was hoping to see Tiger more in it throughout the rest of the final round.
I did love waking up and just watching golf right away.
I was going to say, it's pretty cool.
At noon, 1 o'clock, the tournament was done. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool when you can wake up and watch a live sporting event like that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Because I would get to, I think Thursday and Friday morning, I get to the gym and it's on the TV. It was, it was cool to see something actually going on as it was happening. So what this was posed, I saw, what do you think is more likely, that Tiger catches Jack or he never wins another major?
I don't know. I just can't see. I can't see him never winning another major.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's more likely that he catches him. I still think he has it in him to win some majors. For him to not win another major, I don't know about that. Now, if you were to say, is it more likely for him to, you know, get to 15 or 16 rather than catch him, I'd say yes.
Yeah.
But for him to not win another major, I think that's just ludicrous.
It might be too far of a stretch,
He was in the thick of things at the U.S. Open going into the weekend, and he just had a bad weekend, you know? So he's been in contention as of late. He just he just needs to putt better, man. He's not that same old Tiger. Will he ever be the same Tiger? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But hopefully he can turn it around and... I think the PGA is at Oak Hill. I looked up the stats. I think in 2003 is the last time Tiger played there. And that was, you know, at the height of his career. Well, 2000 was probably the height of his career. But he was still playing really good golf.
Sure.
And he played horrible on that course. So we'll see what happens in a couple weeks at the PGA.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he has another major in him.
I think so.
Most definitely.
Do you buy that it might be just mental with him, you know, as far as...
Yeah, I don't think it's really mental. I think he's just gone through another freaking swing change, you know. A lot of people say he played his best golf when he was with Butch Harmon, so maybe he needs to go back to him. And ironically enough, that's who Phil Mickelson's swing coach is now, and he's been playing some of the best golf of his career as of late.
Yeah, there you go. Know?
So maybe... Maybe he needs to go back to old is new. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I think we'll get there. I mean, the guy is just religious about how he works out and practices.
Oh, yeah.
You
Absolutely.
Know, when somebody is that mechanical about everything, I think eventually, you know, he'll pull through.
Yeah. And I saw that Rory didn't make the cut this weekend.
He got crushed.
Yeah.
Rory played horrible. Bubba played horrible. There were a lot of big names that just the course ate him up alive.
Yeah.
I think Rory was like 10 over at the cut or something. Wasn't playing too good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's how golf is. You know, Rory won the U.S. Open and then the PGA Championship. Looked like he was going to be the next Tiger Woods and fell apart.
It's funny, a young guy wins a couple, you know, and then all of a sudden you hear that often and then you realize how tough it is to maintain that consistency. That's, I think, what's made Tiger so great. He's been able to do it for such a long, you know, for such a long time.
Yeah. Now, if he had not won four tournaments this year and then, you know, had been falling apart as of late, I'd be a little more skeptical. But, you know, he's winning the Memorial, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, you know, there are huge tournaments that he's winning.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah, it's not like he's winning the Greenbrier Classic or the Zurich Open in New Orleans.
Sure, yeah.
So he's winning big tournaments. He's still right there, and I would never count him out.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I'm with you on that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens in a few weeks with the next one.
Yeah.
Very nice. So it's weird to think about, you know, being in July and it's, you know, 90 some degrees outside, but thinking about hockey. But the schedule got released last week.
Yeah.
I see that the... Caps get to open up in Chicago, play the defending champs. How about that to start the season?
Yeah, it's a great way to come back from a mediocre season, but we can still get tested right out of the door. You know, it stinks because, you know, back in the old division, you know, it seemed like their road away games usually were the tougher games because then they, you know, they came home and played interconference play. And
yes, yeah.
Most of the teams were horrible. So now you're screwed. You get a hard away schedule. Then you come home and you got to play this ridiculous division.
I know. It's absolutely insane. Yeah. Because first of all, I think it's wild that our division's metropolitan just seems, you know.
Yeah.
When you look at the other ones, got Atlantic, Central, and Pacific all sound like division names, and Metropolitan yeah. just sounds odd to me.
Yeah, that's very bizarre, but whatever. I mean, whether it's Metropolitan or not, it's going to be a tough, tough division.
Yeah, because it's like...
I mean, the Blue Jackets are good now, too. There's not really one easy team on that schedule, to be honest.
No, there isn't. Yeah, Carolina's usually is steady.
Yeah. Carolina's steady. You know Philly will come back with something. And now the Islanders are another hybrid of the Caps.
They used to be like the, you know, the Patsy in that division. Now they made the playoffs last year. And
I don't think they're a brutal schedule.
I don't think they're a one-hit wonder. I think they're going to be good for...
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, they're the ones that played the Penguins for almost the hardest. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, they almost had them. They had them on the ropes there. They could have beat them. So... Yeah, it'll be a tough, tough year, but I'm interested to see what they're be able to do with the full off season. They got season underneath their belt, how the players react, and maybe next time we could talk about, you know, just the moves that have been made. And,
sure. Yeah.
Once we get into training camp, see how the teams are shaping up.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, because I'm. Before, you know, the Devils of Kolachuk retiring, all suddenly, I wonder how they're going to kind of regroup because he kind of announced that after the big wave of free agents kind of came through. So they got some scrambling to do.
Yep.
Because I thought he really screwed him over by retiring.
Completely screwed him. And then, you know, football is going to start, but we'll make sure that doesn't overshadow hockey because hockey's one of the better sports out there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely looking forward to the start of the season. I know with the Caps, like you said, full training camp.
Yeah.
Rangers got a new coach this year. Yep. So there's a lot of...
it'll be cool.
It's going to be, a lot of new waves. I'm looking forward to that as well. I guess I'm not happy that the Rangers play so many games on the road to open up. I guess I think it's in October, 9 out of 11 of their games are...
That's pretty rough.
On the road.
Yeah.
And I was looking at their... And three of them are like on the West Coast. So I think like their first three games, I won't even be able to stay up and watch. They're at 10 o'clock our time.
That sucks.
Yeah, so
it's... Just have to record them.
Yeah.
And watch them later. Although, once you see the score, it's tough to power through a whole game.
It is, yeah. It's just not enough time to watch a regular game. And another thing I want to say about the schedule is just that I forgot the Olympics this year. So there'll be that two week hiatus in the schedule,
Completely forgot about that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a little fun to talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
I always love the Olympics are fascinating to me. I love watching them.
I do too, and especially ever since they let the NHL guys play in the hockey company, shut down the league for 2 weeks.
That's made
the hockey Olympics a lot more fun.
Yeah, awesome.
So yeah, we'll see what happens with the hockey. But yeah, these new divisions are definitely going to be fun to watch. And with this, trying to get one of those top three spots in the Metropolitan Division. I might just call it the Metro Division. Yeah. Maybe I'll just call it that going forward.
That's ridiculous. They called it Metropolitan.
Yeah.
I mean, what were they thinking?
I don't know.
I understand there's some big cities, but still, it's ridiculous.
I agree 100%. So, yeah, October will be here before you know it, though.
Yeah.
It'll be good. So, yeah, then I think that was it sports-wise, but kind of, you know, slow couple weeks. But pop culture-wise, been a lot of good stuff going on, too.
Oh, absolutely.
We got, you know, big-time summer movies, summer TV. Last time we talked, it was all fair. You said you had saw This Is the End, and you said you were pleasantly surprised, right?
Yeah, I give it two thumbs up.
That's
it's one of those movies you see the previews and you're like, that's going to be so absurd and stupid. But yeah, I thought Seth Rogen was great. I think Danny McBride, whenever he's awesome. On screen,
just
steals the screen. He's he's fantastic. So the cast and the crew was great. Michael Cera in the beginning had a a really good character, and you know, he was just acting crazy, so that was funny to see him. And then, I mean, yeah, it got really ridiculous at the end, but
sure.
Even at the end when it was really ridiculous, it was still entertaining and hilarious. There's one interchange between Danny McBride and James Franco, which is, it's unbelievable. So, during the halfway through the movie, pay attention to that, because it goes on for about five or ten minutes, and it's just hilarious, and it's completely over the top.
Okay, yeah.
And they do a fake fake filming of Pineapple Express, too, which is pretty hilarious.
Okay.
So, because they're getting bored, and they got nothing to do. But yeah, I thought it was great.
That's good, yeah. I mean, with all these, there's been a lot of those type of movies, the apocalypse, so it's good, yep, to see someone take kind of a funny spin on it.
Yeah, and I had read, you know, that everyone says Seth, you know, acts like he does in real life in the movies, so it was like, why don't I just make a movie?
Yeah, why not, yeah.
Like I am myself, so.
Yeah, it was all his buddies, I'm sure they had a blast,
yeah,
filming that.
Oh, they had to have an absolute blast. So, yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And I didn't realize Danny McBride was in the movie, because he doesn't come in until probably about 15 to 20 minutes into the movie.
Okay.
So he's not one of the original characters. And when he pops out of the room and you realize he's there to stay, I got pretty excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great. And speaking of him, I was happy to see that they're doing the last season of Eastbound and Down.
Yeah. I don't know. Was that social media that kind of got that going? Are people, you know, saying, you know, had a huge cult following and said they needed another season?
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird, because I thought all I heard was that the third season was kind of going to be,
yeah,
it. Because, I mean,
yeah,
even the way it ended with him, like, faking,
absolutely,
his death and everything.
I'm pretty sure they wrote it that way to,
yeah,
be the final season. I know I read something that was it. So I'm assuming the fans, you know, had a little uproar and wanted another season.
One more, yeah. I'm not going to argue with more episodes of that show.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So, who the heck knows what they're going to do now?
Yeah. And all I'm looking forward to, or also with HBO, I don't know if there's going to be another episode of Curb, or season of Curb. That seems like Larry,
yeah,
David just kind of has, like, carte blanche. If he feels like doing a season, he'll do one.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if there's going to be another, because he never really writes, like, cliffhangers. He just,
yeah,
kind of writes the season as a whole, and then he's got an HBO movie coming out, so I don't know if he spent the last, you know, year working on that, so,
yeah,
who knows if there's going to be another.
That's another great show.
Yes, yeah. I like Curb a lot. But yeah, so I just, he never really talks about it, so you just never know,
yeah,
if anything's coming back. And speaking of premium cable shows, we got a lot going on, and then Dexter's three episodes into the season. How have you liked that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of weird, because now you've met, you know, the lady that basically created him with his father.
Yes, yeah, because so, yeah, I am the first, first episode, I kind of watch it, my girlfriend watches it, so the first two episodes, I was, like, on the couch of my computer, and she was watching, because I was kind of paying,
yeah,
attention, and yeah, I was wondering how you felt about this.
Yeah.
She's a psychiatrist, right?
Yeah, yeah. she's a world-renowned psychiatrist,
yeah,
and does a bunch of studies, but, you know, it was not normal at all in the way of her thinking, so, yeah, I think it's interesting, because you're going to see probably the most about Dexter you've ever seen.
Sure, yeah.
You know, you're going to be able to look inside and see what he's really thinking. So I think that aspect's cool. The murder, kind of like, you know, the signature murder story and the guy that he's going to be following, that seems pretty interesting. This guy just, like, lopping off brains and stuff.
Yeah, that's odd.
And I haven't watched that. I didn't watch last night's episode yet. But yeah, I could see an interesting. The only thing that's really annoyed me is the whole, you know, sister exchange.
It's really
annoying.
I was gonna say, from the two episodes I, you know, caught wind of, I was wondering if you thought too much Deb. I was wondering about,
yeah,
that. Yeah,
I think it's way too much Deb. You know, I understand she's pissed off. She doesn't,
yeah,
like him, but, you know, really, who cares what she's doing? You,
yeah,
know, make a cameo here and there. But she's taken on way too big of a role, I think.
Yeah, I just noticed that just from, you know, casually observing. I feel like every time I see her on the screen, she's like screaming at him.
She's always cursing or crying. We get the point, you know, got the point.
Okay, it's good to know. I thought maybe it was just me, but someone who's watched the show from the beginning, at least I know it's not just me who thinks that, she's just
kind of... leave it to what made the show, you know, why Dexter's doing what he's doing, and, you know, a good murder mystery plot.
Yes. Well, I was happy to see Billy Walsh pop up in the season premiere.
Yes, I did. That was pretty funny to see him there. He kind of played the same type of character.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which was funny.
I definitely could see him kind of being like a jewelry fence. Yeah, I could definitely see him doing something like that.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see about that.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. You know, it could be interesting. I think ever since they killed off his wife in the Lithgow season. I thought that was one of the better, if not the best season.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. I heard he was excellent.
Was excellent. And then I always thought that storyline of, I didn't mind her because his wife, you know, she wasn't in it a ton. I could see her eventually probably her character getting annoying, but it was just interesting to see him he interacts with a normal, everyday family.
Yeah, yep.
You know, and I thought that whole scenario was really interesting. They could have done a lot with it. But yeah, that didn't work out, so now we're stuck with his annoying sister, Deb.
Oh, jeez, yeah. How have you liked True Blood so far this season?
True Blood's another one that's just like, I don't know. It's got, you know, Bill is now supposedly the god. I don't know if he's the devil. I'm pretty sure he's the devil. So it's just weird to see that transition from nice guy to bad boy, you know? So I don't know. It's okay. I mean, I think that I'm just kind of watching it just because I've watched it from the beginning.
I know that goes with TV shows.
I feel obligated to watch it.
Oh, I understand 100%.
But I lost interest, honestly, once the whole fairy thing started.
Oh, yes, yeah. I remember hearing about that.
Stardust at each other, and it was bizarre. But it's been okay. I mean, not great, but okay.
And is this the final season for that show or no?
I think it is.
Is it okay?
I'm pretty sure it is the final season, so... Yeah, it's almost kind of exciting in a sense because there's going to have to be a whole new line of shows, you know?
Yeah.
So what's going to be the next True Blood and the next Dexter?
Dexter, yeah.
So it'll be, hopefully they can pull another good series off to follow.
Yeah, I'm sure Showtime is hoping Ray Donovan can fill Dexter's shoes. That I saw they renewed it for a second season already.
Yeah, so what are you thinking about Ray Donovan?
So far it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Like I told you, I think the first episode I watched, I felt they tried to bunch too much in that 60 minutes. And the following episodes, I feel like everyone's in every episode, but I feel like they've kind of given it some air somehow. I think they just dedicated less screen time to all supporting characters, but you still get to see them, which is fine.
Yeah.
So that's I think they're balancing out better, and just as long as the core of the show is, you know, Liev Schreiber and John Voight, I'm good with that. They're both, you know, great actors.
Yeah. Are they following the formula that you know, he's got a new crazy scenario to take care of every episode? Or?
So far, yeah. I think that's like the overlying thing. So I think they're kind of doing it like some mystery shows where you have like one overarching storyline, but then each week there's also a separate standalone thing.
Separate spin-off storyline. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, I watched the first episode. I had a feeling, you know, and I might, you know, on a lazy Sunday, go through that.
Just binge watch them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then the other show that I literally got obsessed with was Breaking Bad.
That's coming to a close too.
Yeah,
right?
I left that off like midway through the second season. And then literally over the last 3 weeks, I've watched like the last couple seasons. I'm all the way. I'm not totally caught up. I'm halfway through the final season. This fifth season was separated into two 8-episode.
It broke it up. Yeah. Yep.
So I'm like on the third episode of the first 8.
Nice.
And then I think the last 8 start in a couple weeks.
Yes, I think so as well, yep. Mm-hmm.
But that has quickly become one of my, like, top 5 shows of all time. You know, it's just, from the second to third to fourth, it was just unbelievable, all the stuff that happened, so.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see, and I like Cranston's character a lot. You know, a lot of people I've read, you know, don't like him being the bad guy, but he's, you know, turned into this bad guy, and I like it that way. Only complaint is his wife can get a little bit annoying.
Okay.
But I love his sidekick, Jesse. I think he's a great character. Yeah. You know, plays a good role. I don't even know. He might have been up for an award or two.
Yeah, I think he's won, I think, an Emmy, at least one or two Emmys for that role, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's perfect for that role. Does a great job. And, you know, the first couple of episodes of this, the final season, kind of slow because they're, you know, going forward after the big season, the finale of season 4. The ending was pretty big. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But it's expected it was going to start off a little slow.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But that's, you know, another complaint I think people are having is literally from the middle of the second season all the way to the end of the fourth, like pretty much, if not every episode, every other episode, some crazy crap was going on.
Oh, okay, I mean,
it was just jam-packed the entire time. One of the most entertaining, like, 2.5 seasons of a TV show I think I've ever watched, and that's why I think people got so into it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because the first season was kind of painful at times,
yeah.
You know?
I heard it was tough watch, yeah.
Very, very slow. But, yeah, once they started picking it up, it was just, like, completely addicted. So, yeah, I'm anxious to see how that ends.
Yeah, I'll definitely be binge-watching that, because I think most TV critics, when like, they list their top shows, that's usually one of them, along with, like, The Wire and Sopranos and stuff. So that most people always...
Breaking Bad's
they always have Breaking Bad up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a good showcase for Cranston, huh?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
I think everyone just saw him as the goofy dad on Malcolm in the Middle, so...
Yeah. And it's a huge change.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely good for him. So, yeah, 8 episodes left, and then I guess after this year we'll definitely see a changing of the guard as far as, you know, TV shows, because Mad Men has one season left, too, so.
Yeah, so there's all these huge, big hit shows that are coming to an end, so.
That's going to leave a big cavity for AMC with Breaking Bad and Mad Men ending, you know, within a year of one another.
Yeah, and what's the status on The Walking Dead, too? I feel like that can't go on for
too much longer. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So basically all their big name shows are going to be gone.
They have to reload again. Yeah.
Do you know if the show was it The Bridge on FX?
Yeah, I haven't got to watch it. I've taped the first couple episodes. Yeah, it started the 18th. A couple.
That looks really interesting. Yeah. Too. I'm gonna start recording that.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Because I want to see it. Because people seem to have positive things to say about it. Yeah,
and I've been staying up with The Killing. I think I'm an episode behind, but. I really like that show.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the better kind of murder mystery shows out there. I like how it's stretched over. That's why I never could get into, like, the NCIS's. I hate how they, in 1 hour, they solved the case.
Yeah.
Like, I like how it stretches over a season.
Exactly, yeah.
And they kind of add the suspense in there towards the end of every episode.
Yes.
I much prefer to watch, like, a murder crime scene investigation show like that over a season. So I think that's why I like The Killing a lot.
Yeah, that's why I liked Veronica Mars back in the day, because she solved mysteries every episode, but they always had one mystery last the whole season too. So it like kind of satisfied the people who like, some people do like the Law and Order where it's just like,
oh, absolutely.
But then other people like you and me like the whole like a through line of a whole season. So that show satisfied both audiences.
Definitely need the through line, and I think I like The Killing just does a great job of misleading you, and right when you think it's going to be solved, you know, something else pops up.
Yep.
You know, so they're always on that one storyline. You know, it's not like a different crime each episode. It's one storyline, but they do a great job of misdirecting you. So, I like those.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And as we wrap up, like we mentioned at the beginning of the of the recording, Mike spent his time in Maine, got to check out some cool breweries and stuff, so I don't know if you wanted to share what you saw while you were up there.
Yeah, so I traveled up last Friday, and on the way up, we stayed over in Mystic, Connecticut, which was a cool little town. They filmed Mystic Pizza, right? Yeah, filmed that old movie there, Mystic Pizza. We didn't get there. The traffic and the rain was miserable.
Geez.
I was downpoured the whole way. So we didn't get there until like 10:30, and Mystic Pizza closes like 11. All these smaller Connecticut and like Maine towns, they shut down by like 8 or 9, you know.
Yeah.
So getting there at 10:30 was late. But then the next day we got up and we went through Freeport and the LL Bean flagship store is there, so we checked that out. That was wild. But Maine Beer Company is there, and I didn't realize they're a relatively new brewery. I think they started around 2010 or 11, but they make some fantastic beers. They're one of their more popular beers called Lunch, an IPA. They didn't have it in bottles. I was kind of disappointed about that because I wanted to bring some home. But they did have it on tap, and that was delicious. They also did a collaboration brew with Blue Jacket, which if you're in the D.C. area, is a new beer micro pub opening up near Nat Stadium called Blue Jacket. Greg, the beer director from Church Key, if you're a beer guy, you'll know what bar that is. That's another huge beer bar in D.C.
It's a good one.
He's leading up this Blue Jacket as like the head brewer with him and his friends. So randomly, they were up there and did a collaboration brew with the main brewery. So they had that on tap. It was like a farmhouse saison. It was really good. So that place was cool, really small. We were just playing some cool music inside. They had a little tasting room, didn't serve food, but it was all brand new, and their beer is just incredible. So if you see anything from Maine Beer Company, definitely pick it up. Then we also stopped at Allagash, which is, you know, Allagash White is like one of the original microbrews. If you ask people, you know, like, what do you think of when you think of microbrews? Allagash White probably come up a lot of times with people that don't know a ton about microbrews. So I was actually shocked because I thought their facility would be massive, but it's actually still really, really small.
Huh.
It was all brand new. It was really cool looking. But everyone that worked there was really nice. The facilities were gorgeous back in this wooded industrial park. And then for their tasting, it was a little disappointing because basically all the tasting was the four beers that you can find on the shelf. So nothing crazy and new. But they did have a rare beer called Cool Ship Red, which was a raspberry, basically tart beer that they aged in barrels. So I had a chance to drink that, and that was really, really good. It was a little too tart and funky for my taste. I'm more tart than funky. But you only can find it up at their brew pub, and I think it was about $15 a bottle. But if you're up touring Allagash and they still have it, it's definitely worth a try. And then finally, actually when we were at Allagash, the guy recommended this place, Oxbow, that was probably like 25 to 30 minutes away from the resort that we were staying at. So we ended up going there. Excuse me. And that place was gorgeous. It was that, you know, the brewing room, tasting room, and then they kind of grew all of their own herbs and fruits and stuff on a 16-acre farm out in the middle of nowhere. The tasting room was really small, wooded, and they had a bunch of barrels of a beer that they were aging there. The people were super cool. And I didn't realize this, but they just worked with Stillwater, which is the gypsy brewer from Baltimore. This guy's name is Brian Schrumpke, I think is how you pronounce his last name. But he has a bar of Love and Regret in Baltimore, like 3 or 4 blocks away from where I live, which is great. So they just did a collaboration brew with him, because the people that actually run his bar of Love and Regret in Baltimore are from Maine, so they kind of got connected that way.
Nice.
So these guys are awesome. Their beer was incredible. I think they're, I mean, I know it's going to be in Baltimore. I know Church Key probably has them, so if you see any beers from Oxbow, definitely try them out. Their farmhouse pale ale is their signature beer, and it's just a farmhouse take on a pale ale, and it's absolutely delicious. I had a barrel aged version of it, which was fantastic. It was a pale ale, but had a tart kind of funky taste to it, which is kind of hard to find, but it was absolutely amazing. Then they had another beer called Funk House, which was like kind of a funkier, heartier, earthier beer that was really, really good. So, yeah, if you're ever up in the Rockland, Rockport area, I forget the actual name of the town that Oxbow's in, but you're up in Maine, definitely got to check out Oxbow. It was fantastic. So, yeah, those were the three breweries I visited, and I'm pretty excited I got a chance to tour them all because they're all great. Not one of them was bad.
That's good. So, that's really good.
And they all make great beer. So, yeah, it was awesome. It was exciting.
Are there more, excuse me, to make a return trip and visit?
Yeah, are you thinking I'm trying to go again? Yeah. I would love to go up to Maine again.
Nice.
But my grandma usually uses a timeshare, so I don't know. Yeah, we were thinking about saving up and maybe when, you know, my grandma and aunt, uncle go up there that we might just bite the bullet and get a hotel room to go up with them.
Sure.
Because that place is awesome. I mean, Maine was fantastic, so I'd love to vacation there again.
Very nice. Yeah, well, those were some good recommendations there. So this has been good, man. I'm glad we were able to, two-week break. This was good to get back and do this again. So it's always a good time.
It's still crazy. We're on our 25th episode.
I know.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's wild. We're halfway to 50. Before we know, we'll be doing the big 100 celebration.
Yeah, we're going to have to do. Hopefully we have some followers or at least some emails that we can answer by 100.
I hope so. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. Yeah, I'm going to do. I want to do like a mailbag like Will Bond and Quinn Hart is doing PTI. So I'd love to do that.
That would be fantastic.
So like I said, anytime, just email us at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. And we are on Twitter at @GDPodcast. For Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.